in the book of Acts, here in chapter 2, verse 42. And I just want to read this. You don't have to open it. I just read it real quick. It says, they, which is the early church, which I want to be the early church. That's what I want to be. Whether you guys want to be it or not, that's who I want to be, okay? But the early church, man, these guys were on fire for Jesus. They were willing to do whatever. And it says right here, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship. And I love that. They wanted to be with each other. Imagine that. A group of people that wanted to be with each other. And I thought, that was a thought crossed my mind. I thought, well, that's where we want to be in heaven, right? So we're all going to be in heaven. And I hope that we give Anna Heights Baptist Church a good name last night, even though a bunch of Nazarenes rode on the Baptist bus. But I told Jim, you know, my brother-in-law, Jim, he goes over there, you know, and he drove the bus. And I told him, I said, we'll anoint it before we get on. And so, you know, it was all right, but that's good, isn't it? But we had a great fellowship with one another going over and coming back. And while we were there, we had a good time. And some, I mean, I know there were some that didn't want to sit with the main crowd, but we forgive them, don't we? I won't mention names. I'm not going that route, Mark. I get in trouble when I talk about things. But this sense of fellowship, man, isn't it wonderful that we can come together? We have a wonderful place to fellowship together. And we were at a church yesterday that's out in the middle of nowhere. Little Chapel, it's called. Little Chapel. Little Chapel. Use that word little. I don't know where they come up with that word to go with their church, because I'm telling you, there was 5,000 people probably in that church, and there was empty seats. I'm telling you, it was huge. We could put five of these inside of it. And it's out in the middle of nowhere, you know, and I'm thinking, where did all these people come from that come to this church, you know? But it just shows that when God's in something, people will come to it. So God must be doing something great in that church, or it wouldn't be where it's at and doing as well as it is. I say that, honestly. Am I right? Amen. People like to fellowship. I love my church. I love my friends in the church. I do. Man, I love being with you guys. And I don't know if you guys love hearing me speak or talk, but I love being with you guys. It's not about me being up here and yakking. And it's about being with you guys and celebrating who we come to celebrate and worship. Because I come here, I believe with all my heart, I've got a Lord and Savior that's up there. He came down here and died for me, and He's up there somewhere, wherever. He's everywhere, you know. I look up because we think heaven's up. I don't want to be looking down at my, you know. It might not be good. But I think, you know, one of these days we're all going to be in fellowship around the throne. I mean, can you picture that? I mean, really, put that in your mind. All of us here together, we're going to be in fellowship together around the throne. Tens of thousands. And thousands, I mean tens of thousands. And yes, there'll be Baptists there too. Yeah. And Pentecostals, sorry. Amen. No. In the book of Romans, I'm finally getting to my scripture. And I don't really have, I mean, God just really kind of, today, this week with me. I don't know. I was just all over the place. I don't know if you understand what I meant by that. It seems like that's just part of the country that we live in. Redneck country, you know. Tim Hawkins talked about that last night. Just one word, syllables, things, you know. Like, you know. You know. You know. Yeah, I tell you what. You know. The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 31. He says this, "What then shall we say in response to these things?" I want to stop right there. That's the question he's asking. What shall I say? What then shall we say to the response, in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now that scripture there is quoted quite often. But what is your response to that scripture? What is your response? What then shall we say in response to this? What do you say? If I asked you, how's your relationship with Jesus today? How is it? What's your response?
Right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. You know, Paul goes, to Rome. I mean, he's talking, you know, here in the book of Romans about, he goes into this thing. He lays it out, man. He lays it out before he gets to here. And he talks about how we're not bound to the law anymore. And, you know, how Jesus came and saved us and we're justified through grace and we're not bound by the law. Now we're in the Spirit and then we're obligated, though, to the Spirit. You ever think of it that way? You're obligated. You're not bound by the law any longer, but now we're obligated by the Spirit. And the Spirit lives within us. You know, earlier in chapter 8 here, it says we have a life that we live in the Spirit. And I talk about that quite a bit, this life in the Spirit. And but then he comes down to here and he says, I say, if God is for us, who can be against us? And I thought, you know, we live in such a messed up world, it seems like every day of our life there's something that comes up against us. Every day. I mean, no matter what it is, it could be something little, it could be physical, it could be spiritual, because we fight those spiritual battles too. And sometimes it's both. Sometimes we have a physical battle that we're fighting, and then we have a spiritual battle on top of that, and it seems like we get overloaded with stuff. But then when you look back, a scripture that reminds me is verse 26, it says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Amen?
Amen?
So we have this Spirit that helps us in our weakness when we're going through all these things. But he goes on to say, here, I'm going to read now. He says, who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all? How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Think about that. All things he's given us. Who will bring any charges against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us.
Amen.
You think about that. He is interceding for us. So those physical battles that we fight, and I know about those physical battles, and many of you do too. We've got some in our church right now that are fighting those physical battles. And I love the fellowship of the church, because now we can come together and we can pray for one another and lift each other up. But who are we lifting it up to? We're lifting it up to Jesus Christ. And He's the one that says, now, if you belong to me, nothing. I'm going to take care of you. And Paul, and this is what Paul's saying here. He goes on to say in verse 35, he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It's a question. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, he goes on to say. He's saying you're gonna face all these things in your life. There's gonna be these things that's gonna happen to you from time to time. We're gonna go through these things. I don't know about the nakedness thing, but that one I could over. I don't want no part of that one, right? He says, for your sake, we face death all day long. Now, I know I don't feel that way. I don't feel like I face death all day long, do you? But Paul did. For the sake of Christ, he faced death all day long. But he didn't let it bother him any. He said, we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors. Listen to that. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation. Think about that. He's saying there is nothing, nothing, nothing will be able to separate you, separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I think about the times when I get down and get depressed and get discouraged and start whining and crying like we do, you know, because that's usually the first thing we start doing whenever we get depressed or get discouraged. We start whining and crying or looking at other people. Ooh. Because we want to, you know. I remember a guy the other day, he was another comic. And he was hilarious. He was a handicapped guy, and he said he was a comedian, and he said this lady come up to him, and she was handicapped, and she said, "Oh, you inspire me so much." And he goes, "Okay." He says, "Because," she said, "you know, when I see you," she said, "it just makes my life so much better." You think about that. Do we look at people like that sometimes? You know, and I gotta say, I'm guilty of that. I am. Because there's been times in my life when I thought, well, you know what? I've not got it as bad as that person does. I know I'm going through some tough times, but boy, they've really got it bad. And I didn't mean anything harmful to it about, you know, that way. But sometimes we do. We change our direction instead of changing our focus on who we should be focusing on. Because when we focus on Him all the time, He makes all things good. Does that make sense to you this morning? Am I off in the bushes somewhere? I can get there real easy. See, Teddy should have been there last night. We should have put him on the front row. That would have been interesting. I love it. I love the fellowship, though. Isn't it awesome? We can come and we can share in our faith. We can inspire each other and encourage each other. That's what I'm talking about this morning. You know, as a family, as a united family, that's what God wants from us. He wants us to come together, unite with each other, not judge each other. We're not coming here because we all have the same goal in mind. We all want to get to heaven. We have that hope. But know this, you know, that nothing, no one, nothing can separate you from God. Only you can. Amen? That's that free will that we have. Now, I want to throw that out there. You're the only one that can walk away from Him because He'll never walk away from you. He's got you right here, and He'll never let you go. But if you want to pry His fingers back and walk away, He'll let you. He'll let you. I don't want to, you know, I want all of him that I can get. I want all of him that I can get. But here's the thing. He's already given me all of him. Think about that. He's already gave everything to me. He laid it out there. And he just says, I want all of you now. But keep this in mind. Don't worry about death. Don't worry about what you're going through. Don't worry about paying the bills. I mean, yeah, you got to worry about paying the bills, but don't fuss about it when you don't have money or when you're in your weakness or when you're going through a struggle or you're going through trials and tribulations. Don't worry about any of that stuff because I got you. I got you. Okay? You're going to go through it, but I'm going to be right there with you the whole time. And no matter what comes up against you, whether it's a physical battle or a spiritual battle, whatever it is, I'm going to take care of you. And then if it means that you're going to look at me face to face in heaven tomorrow, wow, that's disappointing, right? No. Man. I mean, sometimes we feel that way. Listen. Sometimes we worry so much about, well, you know, I got to wear my seatbelt because what if I'm in an accident? I might die. Well, is it good? Is smart to wear your seatbelt? Yeah, it's smart. Huh? I'll stay away from it. I'm just saying the things that we worry about sometimes. You know, we're here on this earth just a short time. And he's just saying, don't worry about those things. Don't worry, you know, just stop worrying about all that stuff because it's going to happen. Just focus on me when you're going through it and I'll take care of it. I'll make it easier for you. And he has for me. I got to say, man, when I'm going through stuff, and I go through stuff. When I get in a place where I start to go to a depressed place, all I have to do is just take a second of my time and look up. And it all goes away. Why? Because he's got me. He knows my heart. Go back here. Right here. He says, remember verse 26 where it says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. He knows. He knows your heart. He knows what we're going through. He knows everything about us. I hope you get something out of this morning. God is doing some mighty things for some people. A testimony shared with me this morning just blessed my heart. Marva, I got to say it. Marva blessed my heart this morning. Not just you being here, blesses my heart too. But to hear people come and say that, man, God, just in Dairy Queen parking lot, man, the Holy Spirit just came on me in a mighty way. Come on now.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
It doesn't get any better than that. And at Dairy Queen and everything. That's what I want. That's what I want. I want to be around people that are filled with the Spirit. I want to be like that. You know, where we can be in a conversation or in Dairy Queen parking lot and the Holy Spirit can fall just like it can in this building here. Amen? That's what He intended. It wasn't just about this building. You know, this building is great and wonderful, and we're so blessed to have it. I mean, we're blessed to have the technology that we have. But man, we don't need all that. Holy Spirit can fall wherever we're at because we are the temple. He just wants us to be who we're supposed to be, who we're destined to be. And because He talks about that right there in verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of all those who love Him. Think about that. Who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what He wanted us to be. And where was Jesus at most of the time? He was out there. Man, He was healing people out. He was healing people here. He was doing stuff. That's what He wants us to do. He wants us to do that. He wants us to be that. Because we are in the likeness of Jesus now. You accept Jesus into your life, you become like Him.